Well, glad to see all of you here this morning. We're in our series, Balanced, and you know, I'm really liking this series. Now, for those of you that are visiting for the first time and you see these money signs up here, don't let that scare you. Oh, we're not going to put a gun on you or anything like that yet. Come on, laugh a little bit anyway, have fun. Anyway, we're in the third week of our series called Balanced. And we're talking about becoming balanced in our personal finances. So why are we talking about finances in church? Why are we doing that, Pastor Joe? Well, because God talks about finances more than he talks about anything else during the Bible. And the Bible has some great, great advice on how to live, right? It has a lot of good advice about finances, about the way you should live in any aspect of life. This is your guidebook. It's just like your owner's manual for your life. You wouldn't drive your car without at least looking at your owner's manual, right? I look at my owner's manual, even though I've been driving for a lot of years. I still have to refer to the owner's manual periodically. But he does. Jesus talked about more about finances than he did about heaven and hell. So it means something because he knows whatever has your heart or whatever has you has your heart, right? So all your treasures and all your stuff, if that has you, it has your heart too. He knows that. And we've talked about that in the last couple of messages, because if you put more in that, he can't have your heart. Because why? Because you can't serve two masters, right? You're either going to be enslaved to one and serve the other, or vice versa. God doesn't want anything from you. A lot of times when you see, the pastor's preaching about money again, what are we going to do? We're going to have to open our wallets. No, God doesn't want anything from you. He wants something for you. You got that? He wants something for you, especially if you are, you know, I know there's a couple of young married or just about ready to step over that marriage. Billy and Rebecca there, you guys are, I'll tell you what, there is nothing better than to be financially free when you get into that situation, when you get into a marriage situation, because most divorces are caused because of money and financial, bad financial decisions. And we talked about a couple of weeks ago that you don't know when you make a bad financial decision right away. It's not an immediate thing. It happens. You don't know what you did until 10, 15, 20 years down the road. And then you look back and say, man, did I make a huge mistake, right? And that's what happens. He doesn't want something from you. He wants something for you. And there are three laws of balance that we went over and we talked about. The three laws of balance are what? Reference point. You got to have a reference point. You have to be looking at where it's going, right? And then you have to have what? Yeah, constant corrections. See, I'm not getting my focal point there, right? So constant corrections. And the other one is what? Clear objectives, right? You can't have one without the other. You have to have all three of them. They're all laws. And we ended last week, or our first week, we ended the first week with a reference point, right? Does anybody remember what the reference point was? You got to be knowing where your money's going. If you don't know where your money's going, you have a problem. That's what you keep your eye on. You keep your eye on your finances. You keep your eye on your money. You kind of spy on it. It's not how much you make or how much you give or how much you spend, but you've got to keep your focus on where your money's going. If you don't know where your money's going, you have no idea about your finances. So you got to be knowing where my money's going, or all my money's going. So you were encouraged to create a system, remember? You were created, and I know this is financial stuff, and I know I lost a lot of you guys, you know, because it's big, it's huge, it's rocket science. You put the date, what you purchased, and how much it cost you. Okay? That's how you spy on your money. You put the date when you spent it. You put how much you spent it or what it was and how much you spent it on it. That's all you have to do. You keep track of what you're doing, what you're spending. And so you can look back and say, well, I spent that much on that. I'll tell you another real quick key, too, is pay everything with cash. Because that's real. That's real. You know, because if you do your ATM card, it really isn't real money. You don't think, right? It's not real money. I'm not really spending $100 for this item that I would not, if I pulled the cash out of my pocket, I would not spend $100 bills for that. But since I can use my plastic, I can just put that over there and, you know, it's not really $100. Is it? But you got to spy on your money. So last week we looked at our objective and what our objective is. And you were asked to sum up your financial objectives and your goals in one statement. What would people who were looking from the outside at you say, well, you are a what? A spender, a giver, whatever it was. But the one objective that we really wanted you to see is to honor God with everything, right? We wanted you, hey, look, whatever you have, you need to honor God with it. You need to honor God with all your money. And why? Because it belongs to Him. He's the one that belongs. He has everything. He created everything. Everything belongs to Him. He is the one that comes from, belongs to, and distributes the finances. That's where it comes from. Now, we're going to go back now, because what we did is we jumped over. We went from reference point to objective, and we forgot the middle. But we didn't forget it. We just need to go back to it, and we're going to talk about that for the next couple of weeks, because it's very, very important that you get these next few weeks of what we're going to be talking about. And it's the constant correction part of the finances, constant correction, because you have to be balanced when it comes to saving, spending, giving, and debt. And our approach to money is shaped by our childhood, okay? So let's go all the way back to our childhood. And you parents that are raising kids right now, they're learning from you how to manage money. And it's important that you are showing them the right things to do. Because if you don't show them the right way to manage money, then when they get older, they are going to be unbalanced and they will not be able to manage their money either. Okay? So it's very important. We copy or we react to what we grow up with. Now think about it. How your parents approached finances impact you today. Now, I know when I was growing up, my parents didn't own a credit card. They did not own a credit card. If they wanted something and it cost them a certain amount of money, they would wait until they had the money to go get it. Period. That's it. And they did the layaway system. Anybody, you young ones, probably don't even know what layaway is, do you? Now, a couple of years ago, during Christmas, I think somebody tried to reinstate that, like Kmart or something. They said, hey, you know what? We're gonna let you lay away Christmas. And that's what I did when I was younger, man, early in our marriage. Sue and I would go to Hill's Department Store, remember? Yeah, they had a big layaway department. You'd go and you'd get your toys and all the stuff you wanted for Christmas. You'd take it over to a window and said, hey, I'm gonna spend $5 a week or whatever it is until I pay all this off. And guess what's good about that? What's good about it is when it's paid off and you finally get it, it's brand new and shiny. It's brand new and shiny. Today, what we do is we say, well, how much is it? I need it, or whatever. Here's my card. Here's my credit card. I'll take it. By the time you're done paying for it, it's no longer shiny. It's old. You don't even know where it is. It's in the basement with the rest of the stuff, underneath all kinds of dust and everything, right? I know. I'm there. So it is. That's what happens. It's all there, and it's all wasting up and everything. But they didn't even have a credit card at all. And when they would borrow, they borrowed on something that had value. Okay? So when they borrowed on their house. And when they borrowed on their house, they knew that it was liquid. If they needed the finance or if they needed the money, all they had to do was sell the house and they had the money because it was liquid. A lot of us buy stuff that doesn't have any equity in it. It has no equity. We buy it. I'm guilty. And I bet you if I ask you to raise your hand, you'd say guilty also. But everybody, we go out and buy these new cars and stuff like that. I am so guilty of that. And then 2 weeks later, the thing, you drive it off of the showroom floor and it's worth $10,000 less than what you paid for it. And all the interest that's going to accrue over the years, it's like, holy smokes, when you go to get rid of it, you pay $40,000 for a brand new car nowadays. And that's really nothing to do. And what do you get in 5 years for it? Well, I'll give you $1,500 for it. Good investment, right? We do that, but it appreciates, which means that at any point they could have liquidated. They had they paid cash for their cars. I don't ever remember my dad ever buying a new car. He never bought a new car. He always bought used cars, okay? He always did. Used car. And it was always something that he could pay cash for. So they didn't have any or carry any debt. And we should all have these kind of postered on our refrigerator or whatever. They are three financial goals. Three financial goals. Giving, saving, and staying out of debt. Giving, saving, and staying out of debt. And why would we want to do that? Because really, I could up my standard of living just like that if I wanted to, okay? All I got to do is pull out the credit card. I can drive a better car. I can go on better vacations. I can have better clothes. I could have a lot of better stuff right now, today, right this moment. We could all go to down and purchase something on credit right now and make our standard of living immediately better, right? But that doesn't always work. Because you can either save and work and save your way to a higher standard, or you can borrow your way there. Now listen, here's one of the things. One is quick, one is slow. One brings peace, and the other, woe. 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 Some of you guys are on the woe on the balance sheet, right? Some of you guys have gone a little too far. And I have been on both sides of debt. I have. I mean, I have really been on both sides of debt. And I am on the right side of debt right now, the good side of debt. And I want you guys to be there with me. Okay? I want you to be on the good side of debt. I don't want you being on the wrong side of debt. And I want you to join me to be free, because it's God's will for you to be debt free. It's all about making the proper corrections. When God was establishing Israel as a nation, he made several conditional promises. And they were conditioned on Israel's obedience to God. Now, if you want to see all of them, you can go to the book of Deuteronomy and you can look at all the conditions that God put and placed on Israel. One sign of God's blessing was the ability to lend money. To lend money. Not to borrow it. Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to look at about four verses today. And the reason why we do that is because less is more. Okay?
Less is more. It's better. You'll remember. If I give you all kinds of scripture and if I give you a lot of stuff, you'll walk out of here saying, well, I remember this, I think, and I remember that. But if I give you some specific things that you can carry with you when you leave here, you're going to remember it during the course of the week and you're going to be able to go back to it. So Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 12 will begin. It says, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasures. Yeah, that to me right there is like, wow, God is going to give me from his treasures. Do you know God owns everything? Do you know that God has everything? It belongs to him. He can take it anytime he wants, including up and including your life. If he wants you, he'll take you. And he'll take all your stuff too. And it says, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season. He's going to give you rain. He's going to bless you in that way. And to bless all the works of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Wow. Thou shalt not borrow? That's a command from God? He says, you can go ahead and lend, but don't borrow. Borrowing was evidence of things going very poorly. When you have to borrow, things aren't going so well for you. They're going pretty bad. God says, don't borrow. And it is used to be that way here. But now we live in a culture that says, wow, things are going so well that you can behave like a person that things aren't going so well. It says, we live in a culture that says, listen, you got some money. So you may as well leverage that and go into debt. And borrow money, act like a person who is in a bad spot. You get that? See, this is what happened to me. I'll tell you my story. A few years back, I went to the Lord and I said, God, what do you want me to do? I've got debt on this side, I've got assets on this side. My assets far outweigh my debt. Would you like me to get out of debt? And he gave me scripture, and we're going to go over that piece of scripture just in a moment. He gave me scripture and he said, yeah. So I went ahead and I liquidated and I paid everything off. I had my house paid. I had my cars paid. I had my credit card debt paid. All I had to do was pay my utility bills, food, clothes, whatever. Whatever. That's all I had to do. And then somebody came to me and said, hey, Joe, he says, why are you paying this off? It's crazy. Why don't you leverage your stuff and go into debt? And you know, I listened to him. I got myself back into debt again. Stupid, 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 stupid. I wish I had that all to do over again, and I probably would have, while nobody was looking, punched a guy right in the mouth. It was so stupid. I was free. And then I went back in under bondage again. Slavery again. Wow. Man. Tell you what, God says that it's better to make interest than it is to pay interest. He does. And the reason debt was of concern to God then and now is because he knew what we kind of learn the hard way. Proverbs chapter 22. This is the verse that I got. And it was so clear. Proverbs chapter 22. I said, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I've got this and I've got this. What do you want me to do? In verse 7 of chapter 22 in Proverbs, it says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. I was a slave. And he said, Joe, I don't want you to have that. That's not what I intend for you. I want you to be free. I want you to feel the joy and the peace. I want you to go to bed and not have to worry about how I'm going to make the rent payment or how I'm going to do this or how I'm going to do that. I want you to be free. So don't be a slave, Joe. Pay it all off. That's what he's saying. He says, you know what? You are a slave. Consumer debt is the equivalent of paying someone else to be your master. Not selling ourselves into slavery. Not, we're not selling ourselves into it. We're consuming ourselves into slavery. And that's what we're doing. In reality, that's what we're doing. And it's a slow thing. It's a slow thing that happens over a period of time, you know? It happens like this. Okay, I need something, or I don't need something. I want something, okay? I go down to Lowe's, and I see it. I don't even know what it is until after I see it, right? I mean, I don't even know I want that until I actually, oh, yeah, that's something that'll go in my garage nicely. You know, I may not use it. I have a saw that I have used one time that I paid $400 for 2 years ago. I've used it to cut one piece of wood. But I needed it, okay? All right. So what happens is you lay the credit card down and you purchase it. And then you say, well, I'll pay that off at the end of the month. And the end of the month comes and an unexpected bill comes along. Or a little higher bill comes along. And you say, well, I'll just pay the minimum on this credit card debt. So I pay my 10 bucks and I pay the other and I don't have any extra money left over. But I paid my 10 bucks and they charged me $8 of interest. So $2 went towards the 400. And then next month I really needed something. So I went and I added $200 or $400 towards that. Now I've got 800 bucks. Now my minimum payment's $20. And you know how it goes, right? And everybody's shaking their head and laughing because you know you've been there at some point in your life. But we don't need, what it is debt is of concern to God because oftentimes we don't need what we think we need, okay? As much as it is lack of self-control. That's what it is, lack of self-control. I have to learn self-control when it comes to that. And this is a character issue. This is a character issue. It's a spiritual issue that we all have. Or that we can have. We say, yes, I want it, I need it. We don't even know we want it or have it. Here's your choice. Either you control you, or the credit card company controls you. One or the other. Either you control you, or the credit card or credit union controls you. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. And verse 28. Thank you. It says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Okay? When you lack self-control, you're like someone will invade you or take control. It's like this, okay? In the old time, when they're talking about this, they're talking about walled cities. If you had a walled city like Jericho and it's very fortified, the walls are around you, you can't get penetrated. But when you lack self-control, okay? When you lack self-control, you're like a city without walls. or with a breach in your walls. Now what happens to a city with breach in the walls? They walk right through. The enemy just walks right through. And that's what it is. You can be taken over by the debt that you're in because you are not walled. You have no self-control. If you have self-control, you're like a walled city that nobody's going to be able to penetrate you. Okay, I really want this. Now remember, I preach this to me before I ever preach it to you. And I've got to learn this lesson too, because sometimes I have no self-control when it comes to automobiles. I see it and I want it and I take it. So I've got to learn, no, Joe, no. Fortify, self-control. I need that. I need that in my life. City without walls was a very easy target for anybody to come in and take control, to conquer it. And the last negative thing about debt is that it impacts your ability to be generous. It does. Here's the thing. It's odd to you sometimes to think about this, okay? If you're in your office and there's somebody that's hurting and they just lost a loved one and they're taking up a collection, you think, I want to give. I really do. I don't have it because I'm in debt. I want to give to the projector project, but I don't have it because I'm in debt. I want to give to the United Way or to any other organization or the Center of Hope. Oh, I really want to give to the Center of Hope because I think they're doing a really good job, but I don't have it. I want to give to other people. I want to be able to help. I want to be able to give. It hinders debt, hinders your ability to be generous. It really does, period. It does. If you don't have it, you can't give, right? Because you owe on things you don't need. And it's odd to God, too. God nudges you to give. Visa nudges you to pay. And guess who wins? Visa. Generosity requires a margin. Debt means you have no margin. Look, if you're making $100 a week and you're spending $110 a week, guess what? You're not going to give. You don't have it. But if you make $100 a week and you spend $40, guess what? You got money to be generous. You got money to do what God wants you to do. Be a good steward of your money. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. The reason why I'm in Proverbs is because King Solomon knew a little bit about money because he was probably the absolute wisest man who's ever lived and whoever will live. He's probably the richest man who ever lived and who probably will ever live. Just think about one thing. David, King David, his father, okay, gave $14 billion out of his own pocket to forward the temple, right? To get the temple going. If he had $14 billion, with a B, dollars, just think what his son, the richest man who ever lived, had. And what kind of money he had. And he's saying this. He's saying, look, don't be a slave. Don't be a slave. Proverbs 21 verse 20 says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. The wise. So what is he telling you? He's telling you, look, there's treasure and there's some good stuff if you're a wise person and if you're a balanced person. But a foolish man spends it up. A foolish man spends it up. Man, the wisest man in the world says, you know what? You spend all your money on you and stuff. You're a fool. If you are going to be balanced, you have to address your debt. Because what happens is you drift into it. It doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't just come down like a ton of bricks. Ooh, I'm in debt. You drift into it, and then you have to claw out of it. And here's how you can get started. You know, Dave Ramsey has something that we had a couple of years ago. We had a Dave Ramsey financial institution, and he calls it a snowball. And what you do is, I'm going to give you a tool, because if you're in debt, if you've got credit card debt or any kind of debt, what you need to do is you need to line them up from the most expensive down to the least expensive, okay? If you have a credit card that has $100 on it and you have one that has $1,000 on it, you line it up like that. And what you do is you pay on the one that you only owe $100 on. You pay the minimum amount on the other ones, and then you pay just a small, you pay and try and get that little one paid off. Then what you do is take the money that you, once that's paid off, once you get that and you take that money that you were putting towards that, you take it up to the next highest, and then you work on paying it off again, and then go up to the next highest and pay it off until you're debt free. And it probably will take you a whole lot less than what you really think it will if you're in debt, credit card debt. It's not complicated, but it takes time, it takes discipline, and it takes accountability to God and to others. And the first thing you have to do, number one, first thing you have to do is surrender. Surrender your finances to your Heavenly Father. You need to get on your knees and you need to say, God, what's mine is yours, because it's yours anyway. You need to surrender it. Either you control you, or let your credit card company control you, or there is a third option, surrender control to your Heavenly Father. I would be more than happy if there's enough interest to have a Dave Ramsey class. I'd be more than happy to do that. And what I'll do is I'll put a sign-up sheet down out there, and we'll figure out what time and what day or whatever. But if you are in that position where you cannot be generous because you're so far in debt that it's coming out your ears, we'll have a Dave Ramsey thing, and I think it will help you at least show you a way out. You can't be balanced while enslaved in debt, folks. You just can't be. You can't honor God while enslaved in debt. Regardless of how deep you are in, how hopeless it seems, you need to create a plan. Would you create a plan? You need to create a plan. Would you find some accountability, get somebody to hold you accountable to when you go and get tempted to buy something? Would you surrender? I want you to surrender to your Heavenly Father, and He wants you to surrender. And I want you to wait. I want you to want that for you so much that you'll actually do something about it. And if you do something about it, and you take that first step, you can be financially balanced. So would you all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed? This morning we're going to do a couple of things. Number one, I'm going to open the altar up. And if God has spoken to you in any way, if He says, you know what, you're in this bind, you need to surrender to me first, and then I'll show you a way out. If that's you, you need to come down. If there are some other issues that you're dealing with, maybe it's totally unrelated to finances, the altar is open. The other thing is that there are some people here that don't even know that God wants something for you, okay? He doesn't want something from you. He wants something for you. And He even gave His only begotten Son so that you might have everlasting life. Not just financial freedom, but everlasting life. He wants that for you. He wants you to accept His Son. You know, it's one thing to know, oh yeah, God, Jesus died on the cross for me. You know, I know that. I've been going to church all my life, whatever. I know, Pastor Joe, I've heard this before. But guess what? If you don't have a personal relationship with him, then you really don't know him. You don't. You can know what he did for you, but if you've never accepted him and said, Jesus, I want you into my heart. I invite you into my heart this morning. I want to know you better. You know, we just had a gentleman who resisted for years and years and years and then came to know Christ as Lord over his life. And this past weekend, he's died. And I know where he is right now. Don't let that happen to you. Don't wait until the last minute or the last times of your life in order to accept Christ as Lord over your life. Accept him now. Have that relationship with him. I'm going to pray a prayer. And then when we're done praying this prayer, I'm going to have people in the back. And they're going to be back there, and they're very knowledgeable about the Bible. And they would absolutely love to be able to talk with you and answer any questions that you might have. They're there. They're there for you. Even if you have a prayer request or something that's really gnawing at you, or just go back and talk to them. Say, hey, you know what? I really need to talk to you. There's women back here. There's men back here. So I'm going to pray a simple prayer of invitation for Jesus to enter into your heart. And I want you, if you would like to have that happen to you, I want you to ask Christ into your heart. Pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I admit I am a sinner. I understand my sin has separated me from you. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me and rose again from the grave to offer me this eternal life. I open the door to my heart and invite Christ in to be my personal Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me your child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed, raise your hand so I can see. Just raise your hand. If you prayed that prayer this morning for me, I see that hand. I see that hand. Amen. Praise God. If there's anything you want to know, even if you didn't raise your hand but you prayed that prayer and you want a little more information, again, there are some men and women in the back of the church that would absolutely love to walk you through salvation in Jesus Christ. So Pastor Ron's going to sing a song. And if you'd like, just slip out, come up, pray, surrender, go back in the back and talk to some people. But whatever your decision, we have this invitation time right now.
I'm so undeserving. All you are, Lord, you're so deserving. All my love, you gave your life, shed your blood, I take for granted. What is enough? Less of me, more of you. Less of me, more of you.
Gracious God, again, we come to you and we thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us all that we have. Thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, so that not only we can live a peaceful and joyful life now, but we know where we're going in eternity. But thank you for him. Thank you for your sacrificial giving. God, we love you, and God, may each and every person here take to heart your message about being balanced. In Christ's name we pray, amen.